The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
There we go. Hey, now
we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of talk about that championship game last night, got into a little bit of the Astros, and more recently, on to who should never get statues. So, that's pretty much it.
You agree with me, though, right?
For the most part, I, you know, to me, if you want to put up a statue of somebody, I don't really care. But it makes you look tiny, I think.
That's all I'm saying.
And, yeah, there are people who change the culture of your entire program. And if you want to make that case, you certainly can. And, you know, over time, turn you into someone who's in the national spotlight. That's great. My standards would be a little higher. That's all. I think, like, even with UH, I think maybe two or three people I'd even consider. And one of them even wouldn't be Akeem. So, Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
A guy like that. Dave Williams, who I think it's 15 national championships in golf, something like that.
That would work.
Yeah. That's about as far as I would go. 713.
I didn't even like it when they built the Vince Young statue at Texas.
Yeah. Texas should be above that.
They should be. But, I mean, he did win him a national championship.
Yeah.
But either build one for him or one for Mac Brown. Don't build both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? They had Ricky and Earl, who won Heisman trophies.
Which I'm fine with.
Ricky was, it was the leading rusher in the history of college football. It's hard to argue. Earl Campbell was Earl Campbell. No red-blooded Texan is going to argue that there should be a statue for him somewhere.
Yeah.
But I didn't really like the Vince Young statue. I don't know about that.
I don't know if you guys have covered this or not, but can we please stop with the damn crying Jordan meme, please?
Oh, that's never going to go away. And the more you fight it, I think the more it sticks around. It's not. I don't like that thing. It's not funny to me anymore. But apparently, a lot of people think it's hilarious. So they're going to stick with it.
Well, that's their thing. All right, this isn't going to. People aren't going to like this, but can I just say it's time to do away with the damn one shining moment.
They're never getting rid of that either.
I know. That if you want to talk about something we need to get rid of, that thing is so freaking awful. The song is awful. It's just such a TV thing to create and make such a big deal out of. And I have friends who love that. I had a friend once who wasn't able to watch the game and asked me to record. And I'm like, okay, I'll record the game for you. No, I want you to record one shining moment.
Oh, my.
Well, dude, it'll be on YouTube tomorrow. I'm not going to record it for you. Oh, that's like the best part of the whole thing. And Bunin loves it.
Does he really?
Yeah, that's like his thing. I just think it is the dumbest thing. And last night I decided halfway through it, I'm never watching it again. I do not get why people are so caught up in that.
I don't understand it either. But different strokes for different folks, like they say, Fred.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Let's try a phone call. Curtis, you're on the Blitz.
Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, I was telling him, you plaque him. you put him on a plaque, stick him in a glass case, and you carry on, or you name a restroom after him at the school. You don't build a statue. You only build statues for legacies.
Yeah, listen, if to me, a plaque is like the poor man's statue. If you want to build a plaque, you build a plaque. Guys who have done a lot of good stuff but maybe have not reached the pinnacle, that's a plaque is for them. But even then, you build a plaque for a guy, you put up a plaque for a guy after he retires or something like that. You don't put a plaque up while the guy's in the middle of coaching. It's very sure, but much less a statue. That's even crazier.
I like the plaque idea.
Plaque is that's a good fallback.
Yeah. Because you can commemorate something with that.
That's right.
832 asks, what the hell is one shining moment? It don't ever, you know what? Since you don't know, don't look it up. Please don't. Trust me. See, we could get a plaque of Jong being pepper sprayed.
Nah, I don't even think that's necessary.
Could put it up right over there. Kind of Blitz Hall of Fame moments. I'd probably be on there. Let's try Todd. What's up, Todd? Hello, Todd.
Toddster.
All right, we'll go on to JR or Junior. Not sure which. What's up?
Hey, it's sports, guys.
Sports to you.
With Patterson, he didn't even want it initially. A big donor donated the money for the three statues, and he was fighting it. But this guy's been a big donor for the entire university, and he's on his deathbed. So it's kind of, how do you say no to that situation?
It's easy. You say, sure, we'll build that in 2018.
Make it seem small, and I'm TCU, so I think the same thing. We're big enough now where we don't need to do it, but it's tough when you get into the people who have been contributing to help build the program up, and then you know they want to contribute that way, and it's their money, so they want to see it. So just my thought on it. Don't get too hard on Coach Patterson there.
I'm not on Coach. Guys. I'm not clowning Coach Patterson.
No.
I doubt he commissioned a statue of himself. No. That would be super weird.
And I wouldn't, if they wanted to put a statue up and I was in that situation, I'm not going to tell him no.
But the other guys that got statues at TCU, one is Sammy Ball.
Okay.
Who, I mean, that's leather helmet days. I don't know anything about it. I know the guy was supposedly pretty good back in the day, but I don't think he won. I don't know what he won, to be honest. The other one is Dutch Meyer, who won a national championship in football when he was at TCU, was also the basketball and the baseball coach at the time, which I think is fascinating. But this was in the 30s or 20s. But he won a championship. Build that guy a statue.
Yeah.
Let Coach Patterson wait. If you want to mark off a spot for his statue for when he does win a national championship, okay.
It's kind of like a funeral plot.
Yeah.
You buy it in advance.
Yep.
You know where you're going
to
be buried.
Just to show you we're confident that one day – you'll be here, Coach, one day. But, yeah, when a dying donor wants something, you just say, yeah, sure. We'll get that done in 2018. And you know he'll be dead. You don't have to worry about it.
What are you going to do with that money?
I mean, you put it in a fund.
For a future statue?
For a future statue.
Okay. I'm glad you got this solved. Can we do away with Jim Nance and his creepy tie gift, too? Hashtag creeper. Yeah, that was a little much. 281 says, the more you fight a dumb joke that has gotten old and overused, the more entrenched it becomes. Please see, that's what she said. That is what she said. Hmm. Somebody wants to know how accurate is the waistline. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And a couple things from Twitter. AJ, what do you expect from the Everybody Gets a Trophy Society?
That's true.
There is that. Boss says 832 immediately Googles one shining moment. Frobius says it's just a YouTube highlight video to bleep music. That's pretty much it, right?
That's pretty much it.
But everybody treats it like, and they were doing it last night too. Oh, this is what you've all been waiting for. No, I was waiting for that last shot that won the game. I was not waiting for one shining moment. I had to watch it so that I could complain about it, basically. I will not do it again. Done. Steve, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey now, Steve.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got
you. Action.
Sports, guys.
Sports.
Yeah. We got you. Go, man.
Hey, Fred. I was listening to you talk about the statues that you would be in favor of out at U of H, and I was kind of shocked that you didn't mention that you'd be in favor of one for Guy Lewis.
He didn't win a championship.
I think
he did more to change the culture of U of H and put him on the map than anybody.
Well, so did Gary Patterson, but he didn't want to change.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what Guy Lewis has done that Gary Patterson hasn't come close to doing yet?
What's that?
Making it to the final four or five times.
That's
making
true.
It to the championship game. Making it into the Hall of Fame. You can make a case for him.
Yeah, here's the thing. I would put up a Guy Lewis statue before a Gary Patterson statue because Guy Lewis is no longer active.
Yeah.
You know, once it's removed a while, once you're 20, 30 years down the road, if you want to put up a statue for a guy, okay. If 20, 30 years after Gary Patterson leaves, they decide that what he did was enough, then put up a statue then. It's crazy to put up a statue of a guy who's currently coaching when he's done nothing statue worthy. It's crazy. If Duke put up a Coach K statue, I wouldn't bat an eye at it.
No.
I think it's a little weird to put up. I mean, if I'm the coaches, I feel a little weird about it.
Yeah, well, I kind of am of the opinion that it ought to be 10 years after a guy's career before you even think about it.
Unless you think he's going to die. And then you can just get it done and let him see it before he dies.
I would say Guy V, yes.
You would put a statue?
Those would be my three. Dave Williams, Guy V. Lewis, Carl Lewis.
Okay. I don't know. I'd probably put up an Akeem statue before I put up a Guy Lewis statue.
But Akeem wouldn't have been there if not for Guy V. Lewis and all the guys he recruited to play there at Clyde Drexler and Otis Birdsong. And Elvin Hayes, my goodness. I mean, the guy helped integrate basketball here. That's an accomplishment. And he's in the Hall of Fame, too. But I wouldn't go any further than that. And I'm even a little iffy on that. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Crystal says the Nick Saban statue in Tuscaloosa is the prettiest I've seen. Is that one weird to you? No, but I go to the tweet right before hers from EK. Another reason to wait on statues is to let any future dirt clear first. Look at Joe Paterno. Had to tear his down, and now they're trying to put it back up. They may even put it back up. I don't know, but yeah, you might want to be careful just in case one of your coaches gets a little rapey.
Yeah.
Then you've got an issue. Thomas said, heard you guys talking about Banshee last week. Man, I've been missing out. Binge watch time to catch up. Thanks. John says he started Sunday, 5 episodes in, already his favorite show on TV, and it gets better. That's one of those shows that gets better and better as you go along. 713-780-ESPN.
Disco Biscuit says, what about the Bob Griffin statue at Baylor?
He won a Heisman.
Yeah. It's a weird-looking statue.
Yeah, which I'm okay with something that looks weird and is sort of...
But I'm not going to clown it because the guy did win a Heisman.
At Baylor.
Yeah.
And okay. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call. Ali.
Sports to y'all.
Sports.
I just want to say it felt so good to say that. Long time listener. First time actually making it on air. So I'm honored. But anyway, I don't know if you guys stuck around for the post game interviews, but Marcus Paige pretty much, guaranteed that UNC were going to win it had it gone to overtime because they had all the momentum and such. So I just want to ask, if Chris Jenkins misses that shot and they're playing an extra 5 minutes, who's winning that game?
Well, the momentum had gone to North Carolina for sure. It's easy for Marcus Paige to say that because that's never going to be played. So you can guarantee all you want. Guarantee if, That's empty words. I mean, the fact is they lost. But all the momentum was going in North Carolina's way.
And I do think North Carolina was starting to wear them down a little bit. So I think if you'd asked me who I would bet on to win the overtime, it would have been North Carolina. But I don't think there's any way you can guarantee that. Did you see the headlines in the New York tabloids?
I did not.
I'm going to give the New York Daily News a big win over the New York Post.
Okay.
Usually the Post has the good ones. The Post headlines was Chris, K-R-I-S, Mus, miracle. That's terrible.
That's not good.
Because it's nowhere near Christmas. You're creating a name. I'm going to give that a serious fail. That was Oklahoma in the Final Four, would be what I think that headline is. And the Daily News gets the victory with holy shot with an exclamation point. So I always like it when they play off a cuss word.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking at foul trouble. Jenkins and Booth both, or Jenkins and Bridges both had four. The only guy with four for Carolina was Hicks. I mean, to me, North Carolina was in position to win that game had it gone to overtime.
Yeah, I would agree, but I don't think you can guarantee it.
But Jenkins is the hero. He wanted to make sure that didn't happen.
713-780-ESPN. Gabriel asks, does Andre Ware have a statue at UH? I don't know.
I don't know if he does either.
I mean, only Heisman winner in school history.
Yeah, he's a guy. If anybody does, it should be him.
You would think. Okay, so I'll add him to my
research.
I'll add him to my list of possibilities.
Ask around.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing statues. Usually, by the time I get to the stadium, I'm so drunk from tailgating anyway. So, what do you guys think about the officiating from last night's game? I'm an Uber driver. All the UNC fans are livid about the officiating. I thought it was bad both ways, but that's a common theme, man.
I did, and this is me as someone who had money on Villanova. I thought that the officiating was a little Nova-friendly in the first half, and I honestly took it that I was kind of lucky to be even close at halftime because Nova had gotten a lot of calls, a lot of 50-50 calls, and they were still there. But down the stretch, I think it was well called. I think that I would have liked to see him just let him play a little bit more in a game like that. But overall, it wasn't anything egregious. That's the losing team in every close game, particularly a championship game, always bitches about officiating.
Right. There's bad calls both ways, and I thought there were some poor calls last night, but I thought maybe you're right. Maybe it was a little Villanova friendly early, but I saw a couple that went against them too. So that's one of the fan go-tos when your team loses. Blame the officials. Dave, you're on the Blitz. What's up? Hello, Dave.
Oh, hey, I didn't know y'all was talking to me. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, sportsy.
Hey, listen, I just want to clear up. I heard the caller, Ali, right before me, call in and say that Paige had guaranteed in the press conference they were going to win, and that's not what he said. He said that he did that to his huddle, to his own teammates in the huddle before that shot. So it wasn't like he was being bragging or anything like that. If we go into overtime, I guarantee we will win. That wasn't what it was. He told his teammates that.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to clear that up.
Well, that's not as bad.
Yeah.
Like, he hits that shot that, most people thought was sending the game to overtime. And during that timeout, he says, guys, we're going to win this thing. We're going to win this thing if it goes to overtime. I don't have a problem with that. If he was telling reporters after the game, if we would have gone to overtime, we were going to win that, I guarantee. That's a bad look. Saying it to your teammates in a huddle, I don't have a problem with that.
9-4.
I like Marcus Paige anyway. I don't want to clown on that dude.
Yeah, and
that dude's had a good career, good college player. It's rare that you see guys who are, stick around, especially a school like North Carolina, until they're seniors and
he
got better every year. I enjoy that guy.
And he just hit a monster shot that had a chance to be legendary until a few seconds
that
later.
It did not sound like that when he was talking about it in the post-game presser.
You have his audio?
Told the team when I made the shot when we went to overtime, we got 4.7 seconds to play defense, and this game is ours because no matter what, we were going to win the overtime because that's just how the game was going to go. We had clawed back from down 10, and what Coach told you is absolutely right. At that point, we believed we were going to win. We just needed 4.7 seconds of defense. It didn't work out. Chris is their best three-point shooter, and he got a pretty clean look for whatever reason. But, there's a 75 possessions in a game, and they just happen to get the last one and make the shot.
Yeah, I guess you could take it either way.
Yeah.
There's too much crying in that North Carolina locker room.
Oh, yeah, it starts with the coach.
It's out of control. I understand these guys, there were a couple guys crying on the court. But hell, I mean, after you have your cool down period and everything else, and then the media gets into your locker room, have your bleep together. You can't cry for you know, 3 days over this. You gotta put your big boy pants on and answer some questions. I don't like all the crying. No. It's not like your dad got shot in front of you.
Yeah.
You see Batman crying? No.
940 says, I heard you say last week you were out on Ray Donovan. What made you give up on it? I'm halfway through season one, and it's great. The end of season one. Yeah. It was great up until the end of season one, and I'm just haven't watched it since. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, somebody says, glad to hear fathers, players listen to the Blitz. Yeah, well, that really doesn't bother me that much. So, Tanner says, I felt like the schools in the tournament have been especially whiny this year.
It's every year.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
College basketball coaches are particularly whiny.
Mm. Don't you think it starts at the top when Roy Williams is sitting there with Tracy Wolf and he's like crying for like 2 minutes with her while he's doing the interview?
It shouldn't be going on. Yeah. It shouldn't be happening. Too much crying in sports.
You know what I hate? I had something that I wanted to get to, and then we jumped onto that, and now I can't find it, and I don't remember what it was. And it was a really funny thing too.
How do you know? If it was really funny, I feel like you'd remember.
I think I would too, but I'm old. So.
Oh, by the way, U of H has a Bill Yeoman statue. Right in front of I think Gate One.
See, I'm not as down with, and I love Bill Yeoman, but I'm not down with that. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Damn it. I hate when that happens.
What'd Bill Yeoman win?
A couple Cotton Bowls, won the Southwest Conference.
Ain't good enough.
Hey, let me ask you guys something. Did you get one of these emails? Congratulations, you won your fantasy hockey league, Blitz 2.
No,
by,
I didn't get
by
that.
By winning your league, you've qualified for the Fantasy Hockey Champion of Champions contest.
I don't care about that, Fred.
Open to players in all 50 states. We will notify you when the contest is open on April 10th.
I got invited to like the secondary contest.
Well,
because I had a good regular season and choked in the playoffs, they're like, I'm invited to the NIT of fantasy hockey.
No, you're invited to the St. Louis Blues of hockey tournaments because that's what they do. But the wife got one for the silver medal. She's in a different one. But here's
that's the one I got invited to.
Okay, here's what you get. Fourth through 100th place, $100. Third place, $1,000. Second place, $2,000. The grand prize, which I'm calling now, $40,000.
Are you going to play it?
Hell yeah.
All right.
I'm winning this, man. I was kind of sad that hockey season was over, and I was going through a draw yesterday, forgetting, you know, when I was going to check and see what the scores were. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter anymore.
So you know how I barely pay attention to fantasy hockey?
Yes.
I got invited to the Plastic Cups postseason tournament.
The worst.
Grand prize is $100.
Well, you should go for it, John. Win something.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
By the way, we got to do our Masters fantasy draft.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
You don't want to do it?
I haven't done any prep yet. You've got to give us till
like, I haven't either.
Like 6:30.
I haven't even thought about it. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I really complain and you made me more
tough. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. But right now it's time for a guy who has a statue in front of the New Chronicle building. It's Jerome Solomon.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Good.
I would never thought I would have to tell you to turn your radio down.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I can't hear on the phone. I keep telling y'all that, but you guys have just ignored that fact, and, you know,
you don't want to deal with the technology issues that you have because you don't want to call out your boss for not breaking out the cash to get it fixed. But since he doesn't pay me, I'll do it every time.
Thank
it's
you.
Terrible. I can barely hear you.
I don't know. Are you on a cricket plan or something like that?
No, I got like a, you know, Frenchie's fried chicken phone.
Oh, okay. Plan. Well, that would explain it. I hear you're filling in for us tomorrow.
Indeed, I am. Me and Moise Kapinda Bauer will be there, and Lauren Leal is going to stop by and hang out with us as well.
Who's Lauren Leal?
Lauren Leal is a beautiful young lady, a sports fan. She was an intern there for a while.
Oh, you didn't see her? I remember her.
Former Texas cheerleader. And
yeah, actually,
I do remember
her. I saw her Friday at the, she was working for whatever that Houston organization is that was there for the Final Four. So
yeah, she's she's gonna come hang out as well. She's
did she make it? Is she like famous now?
Is she famous?
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna make her famous tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Yeah, she's hot. There's that.
What does that have to do with anything?
That's the only reason you're having her on. Don't lie.
No, she's an intelligent sports fan, and she's an analyst. What are you talking about? She's as qualified to be on the radio as 95.99% of all the people that are on the radio in the city talking sports.
All right. What did you? I'm just gonna.
I didn't say it much, but okay.
Actually, she is very smart. But I bet you there's. I bet you that's not the reason Jerome's having her on. But that's okay.
I'm trying to entertain, Fred.
Well, that's okay.
Even if I'm just entertaining myself, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. If you're entertained, I'm sure everybody else will be. So what did you think of the Final Four in general, the game last night, how the city responded, your overall thoughts?
Oh, no, it was great. I mean, the Final Four was terrible. The semifinal games weren't any good, but it was so much better than what we had. You know, the last time the Final Four was here, you had legitimate teams that have, you know, large fan bases and rabid fans, and you know, it wasn't going to be great basketball. We knew that. You're not going to have guys playing here who are going to, you know, be, you know, basketball Hall of Famers or NBA All Stars even. But you know, at least you had a big name team or two, big name coaches, and finally we got a game worthy of the Final Four. Last night was ridiculously outstanding. It was one of the best games, particularly the finish that I've ever seen. It was crazy, and it was fun, a lot of fun.
Did you get to go to any of the stuff going on around town, or were you all about the work?
Yeah, I was too busy just working. I mean, I did get stuck down at Discovery Green on Sunday because I did the Rockets and Thunder Sunday afternoon. So it looked like people were all into it and having a big, you know, big fun, and restaurants and stuff around town were packed, so... I think the city did well in terms of what you want in big events like this. They learned a lot from having it here before and having the regional, and they set themselves up. You know, we set ourselves up well in terms of the city for what's going to happen when the Super Bowl comes here. It's just going to be crazy. And the weather was perfect, so got rave reviews from all that came in to visit, from everybody that I've seen and read. So it's pretty solid effort for the city of Houston.
Yeah, that Sunday afternoon with the Rockets, and I guess, I don't know if it's Pitbull or who it was, but there were people lined up for like four blocks. I've never seen that many people in that area downtown, and I wasn't getting in the middle of that. I just stayed upstairs and laughed at all you
guys.
Yeah,
it was packed. It was hard to get to the Rockets game, and the Rockets, you know, actually had fans show up on time for a game for once, which was a bit of a surprise. You know, a lot more Oak City fans, and especially the way the Rockets are, you know, backpedaling their way to the far reaches of the playoffs, where either they'll squeeze in and get swept or not even make it. So not a lot of excitement around the team right now, but it'll be interesting to see what they do the last couple of weeks here.
What's your gut feel? You think they end up making the playoffs at this point?
Yeah, I think they get in. But, you know, I've been saying that for, you know, the last 6 weeks or so. They're the best team of that three. Something that's trying to get in with them, Dallas and Utah, but they haven't proved that they're good enough to get better than 500, but neither has either one of those other teams. Dallas and Utah have to play each other, which gives the Rockets a little bump, and it might come down to just what they do tomorrow night in Dallas if they win that game. And of course, if they win them out, win all of them, they're in the last five games, but that would be a six-game winning streak, and they haven't won six games in a row all season.
Did you get a chance to watch your Astros today?
A little bit, and it's what you expect, and it's what they're going to have to do. I mean, Keuchel is, you know, just a badass, so he's going to deliver like that all season. And Carlos Correa, his first opening day doing what he's going to do all year, if he does that, he'll be an MVP candidate. And he's going to be such a superstar unless he falls off the map, which I just don't anticipate because he works so hard and he's so supremely talented. This team should be interesting throughout the year. They should be good, and this is a good way to get it started, and it's one out of 162, so it's hard to get excited about the one game, but they delivered everything that you expect for them, or if you're a fan, that you want from them throughout the season. So, yeah, I don't blame people for jumping up and down going, woo, this should be fun, because it should be.
Jerome Solomon, our guest, Houston Chronicle columnist, and I wanted to get in a quick Texans question, because I know we got a little bit to go here before the draft, and I know that they're kind of on break right now, but do you think that what do you think they're going to be looking for here? Are they at the point now where they could just take best player, or is offensive line the thing they need to look at?
I mean, I think they're always in position to take best player, but especially when they have so many holes, it changes your best player, because you can rank it by you can use need when you have so many holes, but they cleared off the two biggest needs at line at running back and quarterback in free agency. So now they're much more likely to be able to take the best player off the board instead of reaching for a quarterback or taking the whatever running back is available. I don't think they would have done that anyway, but you never know. And certainly they're in better shape than having to trade draft picks and or bodies to move up in the draft to get one of these quarterbacks who I don't think any of them are going to be that great. Not that I think Osweiler is either, but I would take him over any of these guys in the draft. So, yeah, I have no idea what they're going to do. And the thing is, I don't think they have any idea what they're going to do. They're going to have a draft board set up, and whoever the highest-ranked player that falls into their lap, they'll take it. They need some offensive line help, no doubt, but they need some help in a couple other positions too. They need a receiver, but it's, you take a receiver at that spot, he really has to be a good player, and I don't know if they'll have a receiver there available who's that good. I mean, think about it. That spot where they're drafting is higher than they got DeAndre Hopkins. So if that guy's going to be better than DeAndre Hopkins, I tend to doubt it. It's a weird kind of draft in that way. They'd be much better off getting an offensive lineman who can play and will play good for them for the next 4 or 5 years.
You at all fired up for the Masters?
I will be by the time they crank up. I mean, golf has just moved into a secondary hole for most of us.
Because Tiger Woods is gone?
Dominating. It's not the same. I still love the sport, love watching it, but I don't anticipate it. You know what I mean? Until it gets going. And the Shell Houston Open last weekend, I mean, I had absolutely zero interest unless it had gotten to Sunday and you're like, oh, wow, Jordan Spieth and Day and Mickelson are all in the battle down the stretch. Okay, fine, let me turn it on and watch. Otherwise, I didn't watch one stroke of the tournament. I would have gone out there Sunday instead of going to the Rockets had it been interesting. It's just golf is not that interesting right now for most of us, and it got really interesting for us when Tiger Woods was dominating, and it's gone away because Tiger Woods has gone away.
All right, that's Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon. You can hear him tomorrow in our spot as we fly off to Vegas, which I know you'd much rather be doing the show than going to Vegas with us. So
yeah, I have no interest in that town whatsoever. But no, I did when I was in Anaheim for the regional. I did manage to make a stop or two at a couple of little poker rooms and had some fun.
Yeah, did you have some success?
Oh, of course. I wouldn't play without success.
That's good.
And L.A., the poker rooms are pretty loose and fun, and especially the limit tables are just ridiculous. They're it's It's like a cash register, generally speaking. No limit games are a little tougher, but you know, I didn't have enough time to sit and play no limit and grind, so I can sit down at a limit table and just, you know, rake a little bit and take off. It was big fun.
What can we expect on your show tomorrow?
Me.
Okay.
Me, and more me.
Interesting.
People are like, okay, well, won't have to listen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Chris Broussard is probably going to come on, talk a little NBA, you know, and Rocket stuff, and he's on the inside with Dwight Howard, so that could be some interesting information coming from him on.
Well, having Chris Broussard on guarantees that you won't say the dumbest things that are said on the show tomorrow. So, congratulations.
you love attacking my boy Chris, don't you?
I'm not shy about it.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. The 25th-ranked Rice Owls baseball team is coming home to Reckling Park for one game against number 3, A&M, tonight at 6:30. Tickets are moving fast. Be sure to get your seat for the biggest game of the season. Visit www.ricetickets.net/baseball or call 713-348-OWLS today. So, I have a gem of the day, but I just saw this tweet from a guy who covers MLB for Fox, John Morosi, actually worked briefly at the Chronicle. And somebody has proposed baseball expansion, which I think is the worst idea ever.
To Montreal.
And Vancouver, and going to 32 teams. And in this, would you like to hear the alignments for the divisions?
I would love to.
They're
going to go back to four of
four-team divisions in each league. So the American League would be Baltimore, Cleveland, Detroit, and the White Sox.
Okay.
Montreal, Toronto, Yankees, Boston. I don't know that I like taking the Orioles away from the Yankees in Boston, Vancouver, Seattle, Oakland, Anaheim, and this would be your Astros division, the Rangers, Astros, Royals, and Twins.
What happens to Tampa Bay?
I believe Tampa Bay goes to the National League.
The Astros get first dibs on going back to the National League?
But I mean, those divisions kind of make sense. Here would be your National League divisions, Miami, Tampa, Atlanta, Washington. That sounds like a hockey division. Philadelphia, the Mets, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. And then Colorado, St. Louis, the Cubs, Milwaukee. I don't like Colorado in there. I think that needs to be Pittsburgh or Cincinnati needs to be in that division. The problem with this, you've got five teams in the West. So Colorado moves over with St. Louis, Cubs, and Milwaukee. Dodgers, San Francisco, San Diego, Arizona. See, I would prefer Houston goes to the National League. This doesn't work. Colorado with the Cubs and Cardinals and Milwaukee.
Or put one of those other, like Vancouver or somebody. I mean, I don't know. I feel like they're getting priority over what league and division they get put in. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. I mean, they should. Well, they're in the American League. That's, you know, probably where they should be. But, yeah. I don't know. I don't think that.
But they're saying all of the Canadian teams are going to be in the American League?
Yeah. See, I'm not sure that works. But they don't
have. I don't think that's good either.
Yeah, I think if you put you'd have to put Vancouver in. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to take this and mess with it and come up with a better one. That's what I'm going to do. That has the Astros in the National League where they belong and probably puts. You know what? The Expos were in the National League. Montreal should be in the National League. No. I'm going to redo this.
And Montreal, a good natural rivalry with the Washington Nationals.
Yes. No, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to work on this on the break.
Okay.
All right. But first, we have to do our Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. Voldemort gave me this yesterday, and we never got around to it, so I decided to make it the Gym of the Day.
All right.
Tell me how this sounds to you. New app will help you get compensated by airlines when they bleep you over, and does it free of charge.
Okay.
There's an app called Service that will deal with airline employees, bank tellers, etc. If a flight is canceled, you need compensation, it'll haggle with the airline for you.
Nice.
If you check into a hotel room and it's dirty and you need to be compensated in some way, the app does that, acting as the middleman.
Remember when I checked into the hotel in Vegas and there was like, I feel like there was urine on the floor or something.
Yeah, which is not really surprising in Vegas, but should be cleaned up.
I mean, and they came and cleaned it up. I thought they were just going to give me a new room, but they just cleaned it up. And I was like, well, that's kind of, I mean, now I know someone's peed on the floor in here. It's not going to feel the same. And I mean, I guess it's Vegas. Probably someone's peed on the floor in every hotel room, yeah, every hotel in Vegas.
Yeah, more than once.
But
It says users begin by sharing the name of the business they're having issues with. Then they're presented with possible complaints that are tailored to the appropriate industry. The final step, entering your desired compensation, whether that means a full refund or a couple of meal vouchers. If what you're asking is reasonable, it'll judge whether it's reasonable or not. It will pursue your case at zero cost to you. And this is how it came to be. I was traveling on a brand new 737. The guy sitting next to me had a go-go Wi-Fi pass. Unfortunately, the power ports on the plane were broken. He wasted the last 20 minutes of his battery life trying to get someone at AA.com or Twitter to pay attention to his problem. So that's how Service was born. I have to say, if I had this, United Airlines would have heard from me several times already. So anyway, I looked it up. It's a real app. There might be something to take a look at. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. Gabriel asks, hasn't Vancouver failed as a sports city, though? No. The Canucks draw great. The basketball experiment did not go nearly as badly as it was let on, but the truth is, it's those people scare me after they rioted from the Stanley Cup. I'm not sure they need a team there. So it's a really cool city, but I don't know how baseball would fly there.
I mean,
why are we talking expansion anyway? Just move Tampa.
They're all Mariners fans there anyway.
That's what Steve says. Tampa needs to move to Montreal.
Well, they just built that brand new sparkly stadium. They can't move.
Yeah, but nobody goes. Man. All right.
That's the problem. The teams that should be moving, Miami and Tampa,
yeah,
they've got new stadiums. They're not going anywhere.
Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Where I wrote this, what I'm saying. In my cubicle, where I hide.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.